Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you that we can come together this morning. We ask you, Lord, that you open our mind and our heart for us to be able to hear your word and to put it to work in our lives, Lord. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, that you send your word and heal them and deliver them from their destructions, Lord. Hallelujah. We just praise you and thank you that we can receive from you, Lord, today, that we may, Lord, understand and put it to work, make decisions, Lord, because that's what makes the difference. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, for the thing you're going to do today as we go into your word and you minister to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So we've been talking about how to get unstuck. And really, it's a very important topic. God wants us to keep moving, to keep growing, to keep developing. You know, but doesn't happen just knowing theory. Okay, it's not by just knowledge. It's what has to happen in our heart that makes a difference. It's the decisions we make as a result of the word working on us. See, that one makes a difference. See, God doesn't like people to be there feeling sorry for themselves and complaining about stuff. This is the reason why, you know, he got fed up with the children of Israel, because they were complaining all the time instead of really praising him and opening up and making a decision. And we can see his attitude toward those that actually took, you know, the responsibility, took the initiative to respond to the word and do something. This is why, you know, even David, okay, he wasn't perfect. But the word says that, you know, his heart was for the Lord. And the Lord, you know, really had, make a difference in his life. Why? Because he wasn't there thinking about it. He was making decisions. He was taking steps. He was, acting on the word. And that what makes a difference. That's what we had to learn to do. Take the responsibility and realize that God, you know, has done everything that he needs to do, but we have to do our part. We had to make sure that we apply what we know, apply what we learn, and get result. You see, this is what made the difference. Okay, we saw the theory last week, if you want. Okay, about some of the principles that we have to understand that are given in the word, instruction that we receive so that we know what to do and we understand the principle that according to which God deals with us. But you see, relationships is never a one-way thing. It's always a two-way thing. So what God deals with us, we have to deal with him. We have to respond to what he does with us. If we don't respond, we get nowhere. It's just a waste of time. And so after a while, you know, we won't be able to even respond anymore because he doesn't even try if we don't. It shows that we are not responding to what he wants to do with us. Okay, but the principle we talked last week were practical and can make a difference, enormous difference, if we understand them and if we implement them. Okay. Well, see, you know, first of all, understanding, you know, that we are tempted and we have opportunities to sin when we are tempted, but God always brings about a way out. Doesn't matter what. And even if we went after we fall, and he's there always to produce a way out. But, you know, the way out, you know, if you have a way out and you don't walk out, how can you, you know, it just doesn't work. Because we had to walk out. Has to be our initiative, okay? He doesn't change. You see, the thing, he expects us to change and to align up ourselves with him and what he says and how to, you know, give us opportunity to get free, to get moving, to get blessed. That's what he wants to do with us, okay? And we had to understand that the changes in us, we had to decide and take and make them happen. See, that was the characteristics actually that David had all the time. I mean, he would not just, he would act on faith on the situation. You know, there was all everybody afraid with Goliath there, and he was the only one that had the courage to speak up and say, who do you think you are? Okay. Because he was actually applying what he knew and was getting result not just for themselves physically, but supernatural result. And God wants to provide for us supernatural results so that we break through spiritual stagnation, that we break through the inability to do the things ourselves, because He is going to provide the ability to do the things that need to be done. But we had to believe Him, and we had to start implementing His principles. Okay, we had to draw near to Him if we want Him to be getting closer to us. He had provided everything before, but we had the part to play. Okay, and you know, He has really an expectation. You know, a way that we expect us from behave. Okay, He resists the proud and give grace to the humble. And realizing that, okay, you know, we need to submit ourselves to Him. As we submit ourselves to Him, then, you know, what He says, the direction that He gives us, we start implementing, He starting acting on them. Are you following me? This is important. If we don't do it, He cannot do anything because He expects us to do something. And we, you know, we have to understand the difference between the things that we can do and the things that He has done. But if He is the instruction, then we are going to do, you know. And after He is, we can do. See, you know, the transformation take place, the change inside us start to be having an effect. And we are going to see different situation and result in our life. We start making progress. Hallelujah. Okay. But we have to start embracing those changes, the way it brings about, and start walking in what we know that we do walk. See, we have to walk in the light that is given us. If we don't walk in the light, then we walk in the darkness. And if we walk in the darkness, we are not having a relationship with Him. So our you know, important position that we have to take is that we have to want to walk according to His direction. And then, you know, things, you know, we are going to see that we are no longer stuck. We are just going to keep growing. We are going to be changing. We are going to get, you know, seeing His hand working in our life. That makes all the difference. Praise the Lord. And today, we are going to take the topic that we dealt with last week and see the way David responded, applied practically in his situation. The way what actually he did, okay, wasn't just theory, okay, this is the thing you should do. He actually did it. This is why, you know, he overcame. That's the way to overcome. It's through trusting Him, believing in what He said, applying the principle that we learned from Him, and then we are going to see God's power, God's supernatural power working in us as we connect with Him. As we get closer to Him, He gets closer to us. And when He gets closer to us, it's not just to have a good time at church. You know, people that just get a good time at church and that's the end of the story don't get anywhere. It's just a show. The one that actually follows His principle and start applying and believing and not are there, you know, waiting for something. God, you know, doesn't want us to wait. God wants us to act. God wants us to actually get results. Okay. He is mighty power. It's available to us to manifest His promises in our life. But those promises are always conditional to us meeting the thing, the requirement to manifest them according to His will. Are you following me? This is important to understand. This is important for us to be able to manifest. You know, God completely fed up with Israel because they were complaining all the time when they were in the wilderness. Instead of really looking at what he was doing in their life, what he was doing day by day, they were there complaining about the things that they didn't have. And so the same thing has applied to us. You see, that's why God, okay, called David, you know, a man after God. That's the way it's called in the Bible, okay? Because his heart was, not because his heart was sinless, but because his heart was always open to listen and to respond to God on the spot, okay? David loved the Lord, but he got distracted and enticed by lust and the problem, so he got in, you know, blind at times, made mistakes. And so God knows pretty well that that's going to happen with us too. But that doesn't mean that we have to stay there. If we are stuck, if our relationship with God is not going very well, it's the same thing as relationship with others. You know, if your relationship with others that are important in your life is not going very well, you must do something. Just the situation doesn't change. People remain, you know, hostile to one another for years and never find a solution unless they take some steps. And it's the same thing with God. And the consequences are major in this case. You know, he got caught up into his lust and so on, and, you know, it didn't make just one little thing. He went through a series of increasing problems, increasing transgressions, started with adultery, betrayal, and finally murder. You say, well, this was a lost case. No, it wasn't. See, God is able to turn things around no matter what happened. You have to understand that. His power is greater than all the messes you can make. But you have to be willing to listen and to change and to connect with him and allow him to do the work in you, because that's what he wants to do. That's why he sent Jesus, so that he could actually act on it. And you could, and you could understand. Praise the Lord. So we are going to see, okay, we are not going to follow the sequence of the mistakes and the error that expands all the time. See, this is the point, okay, that always happens. Okay, when something goes in the wrong direction, you know, what happens is that it goes to keep in the wrong direction if you don't make any change. It's going to keep you there, bound, and it's going to be worse and worse because you're going to be open up to worse things. No, when you start turning the things around and you start listening to what God is saying, you can start, instead of getting worse and worse, get better and better, because he comes into the picture and he empowers you to overcome, give you the things that you need to do. And we saw that theoretically. Now we're going to read from Psalm 51, starting from verse 1, in which describe the process in which David went through. It says there, you know, when Nathan the prophet went to him, okay, after he had gone into Bethesda, you know, that's what he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercy, blot out my transgressions." See, David realized that, and before evidently he couldn't see it. But at the moment when he saw, immediately he responded. He wasn't there waiting for God to do something. He knew that he had to do something. And so he started verbalizing, he started taking a position, he started changing himself from the way he was before, moving himself from the distraction or the error they was in into a connection to try to reconnect with God. And wanting to do that, okay, David responded to the prophet because he understood God better. If we don't respond, it's because we do not understand the way God works and what He's like. Praise the Lord. And we have to understand that this is, you know, going to make an enormous difference. Okay? We all have, you know, some problems, some idols, some are in our heart, and some blindness that comes around from that. But we have the option when God give us the opportunity in any way or form, you know, maybe sending, you know, like in that case, the prophet Nathan, you know, or, you know, sending some brother or sister telling us some of the things that we had to, you know, realize we are doing, or just simply reading the word that suddenly there were, you know, some verses sticked out to us and convict us that we had to change in that area. Doesn't need to be as big as the stuff that David. I mean, that was a big case. Also, we can get this big case that he had, and he was able to turn around some, probably, you know, the things that we generally need to deal are nothing compared to that, or not much like that. But, you know, sometimes even the little things spoil the wine, spoil the relationship. Okay. And so we had to, instead of being there waiting or doing nothing or ignoring or convincing ourselves that we are okay, we had to respond to what the opportunity, the information, the revelation that God brings us, one way or another, to take action and not to be there waiting for something to happen, because it's not going to happen unless you take action. Are you following me? That's important. Hallelujah. And we hope today, okay, that we, you know, you may take that step. That you, you know, if there is a relationship problem with you and God, that you take a step to, you know, break through and to find the freedom that you want and start seeing that things are going to be changing that. Okay. So let me continue here. The thing is to first, you know, we have to first realize one thing, the way God is. God is merciful and gracious. He's not there trying to get you. He's trying to get you the other way, to attract you, try to convince you, try to help you to break through. Hallelujah. Okay, in Psalm 103, you know, in Psalm 103 is that, you know, that we had all the benefit that God is going to give us. Okay, well, one of the things that there is the character, the characteristics of God are described in many different ways. Okay, in verse 8 says, you know, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Okay. It says he will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. Okay. The thing is, you know, that his anger is dealt with. But we had to take the step for us to get closer to him. He does not deal us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. That doesn't mean that he doesn't care what we have done. He does. Okay? He doesn't ignore our sin. He cannot do that. Okay? But this is not what I'm saying. It's not cheap grace. It's not like, you know, don't need to do anything about it. No, we have to do something. Okay? But it's, you know, because of his mercy and because of his graciousness, you know, he gave us the opportunity to break through. Give us the opportunity through what Jesus has done for us. But we have to align with that. Hallelujah. Okay. This is what makes the difference. You know, there is no difference. The same process that David did in the Old Testament, we need to do in the New Testament. God doesn't change. Only we know better, or we should know better, and because we should know better, we should know, you know, not to stay there. We should know what to do. If David did, we should know better than he did. Okay? Because we have much more information in the New Testament. And Jesus came to explain to us many things that weren't as clear in the Old Testament. They were most based on a physical things, when instead we started understanding things more from a spiritual man viewpoint. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, so, you know, His mercy is demonstrated by the way He deals with us and the opportunity He gives us. Okay. In the Old Testament, did the same thing. Okay. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, says, you know, the Lord passed over him and proclaimed, the Lord God, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding steadfast love and faithfulness. See, God is faithful and is abounding in steadfast love. So because of that, he is the way, that's what we had to expect from him. Okay, and then goes on, said, keep in steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sins. So, but who will not by mean clear the guilty? So you cannot go there guilty and he can accept you. There to be the guilt has to be dealt with. And he has shown us how to deal with that. He showed us how to operate with that. And we can expect us to do it. Okay? Expect us to take those steps. Okay? There are parts in the scripture that generally are misunderstood, but I talked about that last week. So I'm not going to, I don't know if I break or talk about here or in the Bible study. But anyway, you know, the generational curses is just a theology of man that is not a theology of God, because God clearly explained the truth about that. And I'm not going to go into that today. I want to keep moving on the things that we need to understand. Okay. Then goes on in verse 13 of Psalm 103, explaining God's the Father position respect to us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. You see, that's the place in which, you know, really we understand, start understanding the way we respond to him. You see, the way people that don't care about him, the people don't want to please him, okay, are the people don't fear, don't listen. They just, he can talk, and he doesn't, they don't listen. But, you know, what he talked to and we minister to, and he set people free, are the people that actually are listening, and they care about the God, the way God sees things and see us. And so when he speaks to us, when we see the word, when you know, in some way we get the understanding that we are damaged relationship, we want to reconnect with him. And that's what will make the difference. This is why it's repeated in Psalm 103 many times. You know, shows compassion to those who fear him. Okay? Because are the ones that are listening. If you are not listening, then you are not going to hear it. If you are not hearing it, then you are going to not to respond. Okay, there is a question of hearing first and then to respond. Otherwise, nothing happened. Okay. And why he has so much compassion on us? Well, it is explained there, you know, as the Father has compassion for his children. You know, for he knows our frame. That means the way we are made. He remembers that we are dust. So, you know, the Lord, you know that we are not perfect. He doesn't expect us to be perfect, but he expects us to be willing to listen to what he wants to direct us with, or the information that he provides us, the opportunity that, you know, that we are open to the opportunity that he gives us to get back to him by whatever it is, maybe feeling guilty, maybe somebody telling us, maybe reading scripture, maybe whatever it is, maybe having a dream. He works in all those ways. And when we understand that the reason why he works in all those ways is because he cares about us, because he loves us, because he is the one that created us, and he wants us to connect with him to bless us. Are you following what I'm saying? He knows our frame. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Hallelujah. And he really loves us. Okay? So, the fact is, once we get these opportunities, we have to make decisions. Okay? So we can see David making decisions, taking steps toward God. Okay? Psalm 51, verse 2 says, "Wash me through my... thoroughly for my iniquity. It cleans me from my sin." So you see, he's realizing, he's confessing, he's taking a position. You know, iniquity is just the idols that are in his heart. Okay, that during the process, because he was separated from God and multiplied, you know, from one thing and became many. Okay, so, you know, these are the, but with, they were the opportunity that he was, you know, how were they multiplied? By opportunity that he was in. And weren't God's opportunity, were the enemy's opportunity, because he ended up falling down one after the other, because his light, his direction, his attention was in the wrong place. But when as soon as the prophet went to talk to him, his attention got directed to the word of God, his position there with God, and everything changed. And so he started saying, you know, "Wash me thoroughly of my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin." You see, his position had changed. That at the moment, he didn't take any step yet, but he at least took an internal step, and we made a decision of what he wanted. If you don't want it enough, it's not going to happen. But there, he was committed to do something, and he spoke it out. So, you know, he had to face his transgression, all of his transgression, not just one. Everything that happened, because sometimes it's that multiplied, like was for his case, okay? And in verse 3 says very clearly, "I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me." He's not trying to ignore it. He's not trying to go away from it. He's not trying to get caught up into other things and distracted. No, he's looking at it, and he's acknowledging it, and he's dealing with it from his position. He says, "I don't want this anymore." See, that position is the first step, and the second step, you know, first realizing and changing, "I want it," and then you acknowledge, "Yeah, that was wrong. I was looking, you didn't have done that, and I want to change that." Okay, so that is the same step. You see, David was aware and fully acknowledged all the transgression that he aimed, not just some. Didn't find excuses, but accepted. You see, the key thing is accepting responsibility. If you go around and say, "Well, the devil made me do it," well, that's the wrong way to look at it. And that you are fooling yourself. You have to really deal with the issue the way it is. You know, identify. See, it's important that when you realize that, you don't just look at one thing, but look at what? Look at the fact that there are lots of other things being involved. Okay, you identify and consider all the collateral damage that was produced. All the things that actually you paid for. Because that's really the things that need to be restored. Sometimes there are things that you had to do to restore those things. Okay? Praise the Lord. So, start identifying them because, you know, that identity, that the things, is you had to deal with reality. If you deal with reality, you start hating the whole thing because you see how hateful. This is why God doesn't want us to do certain things, because they produce lots of collateral damage, and they damage us in many different ways. And God doesn't want us. Okay, why? Because we break the order that he created in the universe. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So this is his desire. So he was aware, you know. And so, as we list these other things like he did, evidently, you know, he said, you know, "All my sins are before me. Okay, my sin is always before me. Okay, so he dealt with it. So, you know, the other things that he realized, okay, is the truth. Okay, that the fact that the verse 4 says, against you, you only I have sinned. Okay, really. And then this evil in your side, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. See, God's judgment is right. It's always right because it's a righteous judgment. And so he's right, his position, and we recognize that what he wants is the right thing. Praise the Lord. So when we start doing that, okay, they realize that really the issue all the time is that we are in disobeying him. That we, you know, sin against God more than anything else. Because you value other things more than him. Because we have idols in that particular area. Okay? And we break essentially his first commandment all the time when we sin. Okay? And finally, doesn't even stop there. David went all the way and realized the fact that, you know, the reason why he was there is because of his natural tendency, Adamic tendencies. It says, before I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin, my mother conceived me. The idea, you know, that he acknowledged this truth, the fact that we are not perfect, that we have normal tendency to sin, you know, that put him in a position of, I have to listen to God and be careful not to fall into that kind of mistake. Okay, this is really the process he went through, okay? And there was a final step. The fact that he couldn't fix himself. Okay, he had to get to the place there, okay, you know, which actually is the beginning of the revelation knowledge that he needed to have. You know, in verse 6 says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. See, we need the wisdom of God to be able to make the right choices. And so that's the thing that we talked about last week. You know, we had to ask for the wisdom of God to know how to go about, to overcome, and to break the bondage. Hallelujah. Okay. And really, dear, you know, really, that's connected all the time with one thing. Where do you get wisdom? Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay. There are many, many verses in the Bible talking about that. All in Psalm 103 is repeated many times, the same thing. Okay. God wants us, okay, to respond to his word, recognizing when we get off, and to want to fix it up, want to produce the change in us. Okay, how do you do that? The only way, we cannot do it in ourselves, but we can do it through him, through his word. Jesus, in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, says very clearly, okay, stay in my word, dwell in my word. You might be my disciple indeed. So his disciple learned from the master. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay. That's the thing that is going to make the difference, is when the word is in us and we stay in the word and the word starts operating the power that is in the word to change the way we think, the way we feel, the way we act. Because when we receive the truth, then the truth has the power to set us free. So that's what happened, and is the word that was brought to him by the prophet, in that case, the word. But really, you know, that's what makes the difference. That's what gives him the victory. Okay? So we continue to verse 7. You see, all these steps are all the different steps that we can take for ourselves to make the decision after decision, step after step. Yeah, I don't want this. I'm breaking God's principle. And, I want to find out the truth. I want to stay in the Word, allow the Word. It doesn't need to be one thing. It can grow, does to grow in us. We had to let it grow until, the power that we have received break the power of sin and darkness, okay? So, in verse 7, you can see the next step. Say, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. So, he realized, I cannot do it. Okay, now, says there, purge me with hyssop. What is hyssop? Hyssop is a kind of a weed. So why does a weed going to wash him? No, it was a weed that was used to spread the blood of the sacrifice on the things so that the blood was covering the things that should be purified. So he said, let, in our case, we know the blood of who? Jesus' blood be on upon ourselves so that our sins may be clean, and we are going to be clean because of what he has done, not because of what we are doing. Okay, so we stand there, okay, and we realize, I cannot do it by myself. I need to go and use and connect with what Jesus did. And that's what, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 10, so talk about that we talked about last week. Are you following me? See, those are all the steps that we looked at theoretically, but now, it's amazing that he did all that, and he didn't have the revelation that we have. He didn't have any New Testament words to base himself on. But he did everything that we would do anyway, with better understanding, with a better, stronger position, so that we should get even better result. Amen? See, we are not justified. We just can't have no excuses to stay there. Because we should know better. Okay? We should be able to do something. Hallelujah. So, let me continue. See, one of the things that, faith is, is based on the hope for things. Faith is the fact that we hope things that we don't see. Okay? So before we actually receive things, we have to be able to have that hope for, and that is really where it works for. Okay? It says, and one of the things, what are the results of what we are doing? Even before we see it, we can start taking the steps because we know what to hope for. Hope, for Christian hope is not just, oh, maybe it's happening. No, it's a lively expectation of something that is promised. So something that the Lord has said is going to give us, we expect it to happen as we submit ourselves, as we get closer to him, as we take the step that he shows us to do, as we have the wisdom to take the steps. Are you following me? So this is really, and what can be this hope, this expectation that we have? Verse 8, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. So you see, the inner pain that was there is going to go away, that the feeling of guilt is going to be broken, okay? It then goes on, hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. You see, all the iniquities are going to be removed because of what he has done. And the only thing you did is put your trust in what he has done, and you receive the freedom that you cannot provide yourself for, but just obeying what he says they will do, you are going to experience. So you know what the expectation has to be. Your expectation is to actually manifest the freedom from the bondage, the things that are there. Okay? And so, but it's not just a question of feelings. Okay? There is much more. Verse 9, God hide his face from my sin and blot all my iniquity. So God's attitude toward you changes. The relationship is being reestablished. Are you following what I'm saying? These are all the steps that we go through. And what we have to, if we know it before, we know what to expect. We know that which step you take is going to produce some result. Maybe not all the result at the same time, but as we progress into this getting closer to God, God gets closer to us. And we start benefiting from all the things that he promised to us. Don't you think it's amazing that somebody from the Old Testament that didn't have all the information that we have, you know, he went through, did all the right things. Praise the Lord. That shows how spiritual things can be received even if they're not completely in your head. Let me continue here. Okay, so the next step. Okay, one of the things I said, create in me a new heart. You know, verse 10. Create me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. So that's the next step, that as you move in and you start experiencing more and more of the fact that you are forgiven, that your sins are taken away and everything else, your heart is going to be get clean. That means the idols are going to be removed. This is what 1 John 1 verse 8 and 9 says. Okay, that you are cleansed from all unrighteousness as you walk in the truth. You see, as you walk in the truth, see, it's a progression that takes place. And that progression, as the progression takes place, you appropriate more and more the things that are provided for you. Praise the Lord. And you get inner strength. Inner strength, because your heart is now stronger to resist the temptation, and you are going to be overcoming those. But not only that, you know, you have also the confidence, you know, you get the steadfast spirit within me. You have confidence of God's work, and you see it in your life. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 says, you know, we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You know, walking in darkness is not practicing the true truth. What it is? It's self-deception. Okay? No. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. See, this is the sprinkling with hyssop that is producing the result and is going to be manifested. Hallelujah. So, experiencing more and more that relationship. And we know one of the things that take place, our relationship with God is going to be changed. Okay? We are going to start walking with him. And here, you know, verse 11. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take my Holy Spirit with me. Now, this is really the desire in no longer there's going to be no rejection from God or separation, but fellowship in the Holy Spirit with him. Okay. And finally, you know, it's all the joy that comes from that, restoring me the joy of my salvation. Hallelujah. And uphold me by your generous Spirit. You see, realizing God's attitude. He has a generous spirit. He wants to give us more than sometime we are ready to receive. Okay? He's all wanting to do that for us. Hallelujah. So, but we have to, all this process are steps that we take. Decisions, awareness that we become aware of, our position that we take with respect to God and in ourselves and the things that happened in the past. Okay. As we respond to that, then we are going to experience that. But you know, to respond to that, there is a, you know, basic problem there, okay, that unless we humble ourselves in all the steps that come before God, nothing is going to happen. And that humbling itself is connected with the fact that we are willing to do that, where we are humble and not proud. See, proud comes if pride come before destruction. So we have to be willing to go through these steps that initially may appear not too pleasant, but actually produce the result that God wants us to have. Praise the Lord. As you align yourself in all the way, okay, with God's word, okay, your heart changes. The impact, okay, in your life, your spiritual life, is manifested in many different ways. But the most important one is that your relationship with God is reestablished and become stronger and become more empowering you to do the right thing. If you are there feeling sorry, I missed it, you're not going to get anywhere. That's not what God wants. God wants you to make decisions and get closer to Him. And you take steps in doing that. Okay? A proud heart, okay, and the plotting of the wicked are sin. You know, pride comes before destruction. So we had to really realize that we had to accept to do things according to God's way. Okay? Praise the Lord. This is in Hebrew chapter 3, says, you know, that today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, like Israel did in the beginning. Okay, in the day of trial, in the wilderness. So that's the thing we had to do. That's the step that is going to make a difference. That's what we're going to make, give us the victory. Hallelujah. And you know, God is always willing. And we have to understand that He always takes opportunities. But the more we linger, the more we stop, the more we stop, you know, got distracted by other things and don't do anything, and the less opportunity are going to get in coming our way. We need to respond. Okay, the Lord in 2 Peter, you know, chapter 3, verse 9, talks about the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness. So He is always there to do it, but you know, but His long suffering toward us is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So even when we, you know, miss it many times, He's still there trying to get to us. But we had to do something because, you know, we had to submit to Him. We had to resist the devil, and He will flee. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise the Lord. See, God is patient. Okay? He's patient, but there is a limit to His patience, and in fact of us stopping, not doing the things that we should be doing, you know, end up having effect even on His patience. And that was the case, for example, the children of Israel. You know, none of them could get into the promised land except to the few ones that were listening. Well, the same thing is true for us. Okay? The only thing why we don't take step when we know it is because we have been hardening our heart toward taking those steps. Because we don't believe all the things that have been promised to us. Because we look at the problem instead of looking at the solution. We have to learn to respond to what the Word of God says. And if we need to look at the Word of God over and over again, then that's exactly what we have to do. Okay? So that that has an effect on us, and we are willing to humble ourselves, to change. Okay? You know, no matter what, you know, the Lord was always rendered to each one according to our deeds. It's not that He's going to ignore things. And we had to deal according to our deeds, according to the way he said we can to overcome. And we had to take action. You know, David wasn't there thinking about, maybe I had to do something about this, yeah? I mean, the prophet just had to say a few words, a sentence, as it was explained in the other part of the Bible. And it just clicked. You know, he was quick to act and quick to listen and responding to God's presence, responding to God's will. You know, and it's the same thing with us. We had to learn to respond that way if we want the same type of results. So I'm going to pray. This is a good place to stop. I'm going to pray if there is any area or any things that you know need to be addressed, that is an effect on your relationship, that makes it less good than it should, then make a decision, take those steps, apply them to yourself, and you are going to just be free. Free from bondage, establish a relationship, getting better and better. Are you following me? So let's pray together. Okay. Sometimes we need revelation of what stops us. Okay, we need to understand so that we can follow through. But I think I explained quite in detail, both, you know, theoretically and practically. We saw David doing it, even if he didn't have all the theology that we have today. But it fits just exactly well to the things that are we know by the New Testament. So, you know, we had to do the same thing. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for your loving kindness that you have toward us. You are like a father to us, and we recognize your love, your compassion, your mercy, and your desire to set us free. Help us by giving us revelation and understanding in the things that may be blocking us in any way or form, that we can grow in our relationship with you and break through to the joy of knowing you, of growing in you, of having victory over all the idols of the world, and instead to have a spirit steadfast, seeking you, and a heart cleansed from all idols. Give us understanding and revelation so that we may be experiencing your love and your victory, the victory that Jesus conquered on the cross for us. Thank you for sending him. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for having the Holy Spirit working on our heart so that we may take decisions and receive what you want to give us in the first place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.